Hello and welcome to Rise Above 2K. I'm Gax, joined as always by the Unicorn Big. How are you doing this evening?
Dude, I'm fantastic. Headed to a big Pistons-Rockets game tomorrow. So with what happened yesterday with Wimby throwing up 40 points, I'm rocking his jersey. It's hard to complain right now.
Yeah, and I'm over here rocking my Jaden Ivey jersey, which just came in courtesy of not only the Unicorn Big, but also Shotties, the official sponsor of Rise Above 2K. So it's no longer just being sponsored by the haters. We have Shotties in the house. And if you haven't been following us on YouTube, the Unicorn Big is always wearing some version of some Rodman jersey, but they all come from Shotties, which is one of the best places you can get any NBA jerseys. But it's a big if you know situation. So make sure to follow on Instagram, send a DM, mention our podcast YouTube series, and you'll get hooked up with some really, really quality jerseys. I never wear jerseys on the program, for those of you who are podcast listeners, but yep, I've got mine on. The Unicorn Big's got his on, and we super appreciate the support for Shotty. So go support them because they support us.
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, I probably shouldn't say this, but this is actually my wife's jersey because I don't actually own a Wimby jersey. So I am wearing a Wimby jersey today.
No, he's exclusive Rodman San Antonio when he's at Spurs games. So that's a whole different thing. But this is going to be a big NBA heavy, episode. There's, you know, at the start of the season, there's a lot going on. There was big news today, involving gambling that we're going to get to as well. But I do want to circle back on the YouTube portion of things. We do have a lot of people who listen to the podcast, and I really appreciate that. That's kind of like my love child, but really, where the big growth for our, content has been through YouTube and the Unicorn Big. We have a big milestone to celebrate. Can you tell the people what we reached today?
Yes. So today around noon, I think it's October 23rd, Thursday. Today around noon, we hit 500 subscribers on YouTube, which is super exciting. Yeah. We were at 17 2 weeks ago. So I would say this is a big leap from 17.
Yeah. Well, and it was just us, our partners, and our parents who were the subs. So,
Not my dad, because he wouldn't listen to it.
too much Spurs talk.
But I'm sure once this day is over, until tomorrow, we're going to be at 600. Who knows where we'll be by the time this episode actually airs? And it's time to the march to 1,000, and it's. It's a bright future ahead, and so thankful to everyone who has already subscribed to the podcast, to those folks who, you know, have listened to an average of 14.8% or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. We appreciate you, those folks out there watching our shorts, joining the Discord. Thank you so much. We're at the beginning, and I can't wait to go even further with all of you.
Yeah. And wherever you're listening to us, whether it's on the various social media, which are all in the show notes. So if you're not following, please follow. If you're not subscribed on YouTube, please do so. There is a full video component to this aspect that's available on YouTube every time we post. And I think that's honestly where you get some of the best. I like podcasts because I drive around in my car a lot. But it's really, really exciting stuff. And we're not going to talk a ton about 2K today, even though that's the main function of our platform. But I do want to talk about our socials, sort of universe in general. We have over 2,000 members in our Discord server, and that's really the place for heavy collaboration in 2K, whether you're trying to get together a solid crew, whether you're trying to share your stats or work on theory crafting builds. That's really the place that you can go. The Unicorn Big's every single day he's in there chatting with members, talking about different strategies and collaborating. There's always people in the voice chat working together and playing games. And the link to join is going to be in the show notes wherever you're consuming this content. So please join up with us, play and grow and grind. That's what we're all about here at Rise Above. But let's get into some NBA. We've got a lot going on. And before we get into sort of our notes about the kickoff to the season or tip off to the season, I want to talk a little bit about what's happened today with the FBI arresting around 30 suspects in a sports gambling, illegal gambling ring, you know, across the country. Honestly, the biggest names as far as it comes to the NBA, Chauncey Billups, Damon Jones, and Terry Rozier. I've comically talked about Terry Rozier a bunch of times on this podcast and about how he's sort of sinking the Knicks, the Heat's franchise, because he's just a terrible player on a terrible contract. And as a Heat fan, I'm kind of hoping that this is where the contract get axed and we can get out from under that cap space and move on. But I do want to note that there are two different sides to this case that the FBI is pushing forward. There is a case that involves not match fixing, but sharing privileged information to bettors from the team side of things. And that's where Terry Rozier is really implicated and being indicted. The other side is an illegal gambling ring that involves a mob in New York creating games and luring people into fixed matches. And that's really where Billups and Jones come into play. Now, there are some reporting of where, you know, the Trailblazers and the Lakers are involved in terms of leaking information to bettors. And that's really where Jones and Billups match up. But they aren't being explicitly put out in either of those avenues. So there's a lot more reporting to come. I'm expecting over the next few days for us to get a little more clarity over everything that's happening. But a really dark cloud over what's been such a festivist, fun start to this season. What are your thoughts, Unicorn Big?
I mean, as a Pistons fan, Chauncey was like, you know, the rock of those early 2000s, mid 2000s, late 2000s teams. Numbers in the rafters at Little Caesars Arena. He always came across as a good guy of the NBA. Mm-hmm. You know, although Portland has suffered, you know, he just signed that new contract with the Portland Trailblazers. Disappointing, to say the least. I haven't read a ton into it, not nearly as much as you, mostly because it depresses me. And I guess I'm one of those people that just wants everything to be fairy tales and candy. And that brings me to Malik Beasley. And when is this ever going to end? Because I'll get into this later, but man, the Pistons could really use his shot.
They could
right
really
now.
Use them. I will say, on a positive note, there currently are no threads that tie Malik properly to this investigation, which seems a little outlandish that I could just say that outright, but there's been zero reporting around his case being involved with this one. And I think at the timing of where the stuff came down on Malik, also coming down on Terry Rozier, from a public perspective, we kind of tie those two things together. But from what we're hearing from the FBI right now, there is no reporting to link those together. And as a Pistons fan, I share your sentiment. Billups is a hero to me. I like what he did for our team, and we wouldn't have won that championship without him. It's not possible. And moreover, what he did in Denver, like, I've loved this guy forever, and it's just heartbreaking to hear that he's involved in this in the way that he is. And I'm worried about future reporting further damaging that reputation. But what Terry Rozier was doing is a completely different animal. And I'm glad that Malik is not right now getting caught up in that, because I still hold the faith that he's going to be able to sign with Detroit on a team friendly deal because of the bad publicity.
Yeah. I mean, What can you say besides, you know, you've got these guys who are making so much money, like, why would you even get involved in that?
Yeah, and there's a lot of different things that go along with it. You know, a lot of people talk about you know, how competitive these people are, and once they're in a situation where they're no longer competing, like let's say Chauncey, between career and between coaching, you know, you might fall into a situation where you just want those competitive juices flowing, and you end up starting to gamble in the wrong crowds, and you get behind it, da da da. It feels to me like he's a little more of a mark in terms of what we're learning about the case, in terms of him luring people into these games to get a chance to play with Chauncey. Because, like, I mean, I don't know how much money I'd pay to sit at a poker table with Chauncey, but it's a lot more than to sit at a table with you. No offense.
Hey. So
I can do that for damn near free, or for the car change in my car. But no, like that, you know, that's sort of the role. But once the Trailblazers were implicated in terms of privileged information sharing, that's where things kind of bridge a weird gap. And we'll find out a little bit more about that as the days go on. But yeah, it stinks, because we're going to talk about a lot of the good stuff that's happening in the NBA, because the opening week has just been electric, and for it to kind of come down in this way today is really sad. And I do want to note that there is a lot of negative talk about the NBA and every pro league really in America being more aligned with sports betting companies, but the Terry Rozier side of things, the prop betting, the match, not match fixing, but privileged information sharing, those things are able to be prosecuted and to be investigated by bodies like the FBI because of legalized sports betting. They're able to share the data of unusual bets and trends and look into them further with their league partners and with law enforcement to try to lock down some of these. People are saying, hey, go the under because I'm going to fake an injury today. When they see unusual betting activity, that's really what causes a lot of these probes. And obviously, this is much bigger because we're talking about conspiracy involving mafia. But that those legalization of sports betting in the United States has really helped crack down on some of those fringe things of like the first pitch is going to be called a ball or a strike or whatever. So I'm thankful that that data is out there and that it can help sort of unravel some of these things. Even though it's a black eye at the time, it's good to know that there's a guardrail against some of these unusual betting patterns and some of the shared information.
Interesting take.
I mean obviously it's not everyone's favorite take, but it's something that they take very, very seriously, because when people share information like this and they put a bunch of money on Terry Rozier under, you know, 5.5 rebounds, and he bows out of the game in the first because he has a hamstring injury, the betting companies lose too. So they don't want any of that stuff going on too. So when they see that they're taking losses on extreme, strange prop bets, they're going to flag it and look after it. They're going to use the FBI. They're going to use the league, and they're going to track that down. So for me, that's a positive thing. But let's get more into the positive. Let's talk about opening week, because almost every team except Denver starting an hour ago is playing their first game, but every team's played a game. We've gotten an opportunity to kind of see a little bit of what's going on. And we decided that we're going to talk about our top three observations from this week in the NBA. Are you ready for that?
I'm so ready.
I think you're just ready to talk, because I've been talking nonstop this entire episode. But before we get to that, we have to take a moment to talk about our sponsor. If you are looking for a jersey and you want the right fit, you have to go to the sponsor of our podcast. We talked about them earlier. They're hooking us up with the threads. You can find them on Instagram, and we will put the link in the description below. Get your podcast, get your jersey, all in one place. Unicorn Pig, give us your three observations from opening week of the NBA.
That was so weird that it made me laugh, Gax.
Oh, it's Shotties, by the way. I don't even think I mentioned Shotties. It's Shotties. And this is, again, this is an if you know, you know situation. So we'll shout it from the rooftops. Just keep it here in this room.
Again, thank you, Shotties, for sponsoring the podcast. Looking forward to working together for the foreseeable future. My big three, and this probably has something to do with me watching a lot of ESPN and only the Pistons game yesterday, but we're going to first say the New York Knicks. They're looking like a top two or three team in the East. They were down their second big in Mitchell Robinson, and they were down Josh Hart yesterday. And for the first half, they just absolutely dominated the Cavs. Cat was playing hurt, so that's going to be a question mark here moving forward for the next couple weeks. But man, that team can play. So as somebody who felt like that playoff series was robbed from the Pistons last year, I came away hating the Knicks, but I got to say that last night they really impressed me. 81 games to go, but so far the Knicks are looking like they could make a run back to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Well, and we've talked about, and I'm going to talk about it in a minute here, but we've talked about where the East is and with where Boston is and where with Indiana are in terms of injuries. It's an open field. Much more open than the West, and seriously different if the Pacers and we can even throw Milwaukee in there in terms of teams that have some issues that they need to overcome this year. So yeah, I think the Knicks have a good lane to run through. I do have another team that I think will go up against it, but we'll get to that. How about your number two?
Number two, the Detroit Pistons have some work to do.
They're good though.
They're okay. Here's my observations. One, they are pretty undersized.
Okay.
Two, they have inconsistent three-point shooting.
Okay.
Three, how the hell do you lose to the Bulls like that?
Well, I think the Bulls are better than we're giving them credit for, but I do understand.
Well, if the Bulls point. Are better than we give them credit for, and you look at the Central, and you've got Chicago, Indiana, Milwaukee, Detroit, and Cleveland, like, if the Bulls are good now, how are we going to win the division? I mean, I don't expect much out of the Pacers this year.
Cleveland's winning the division. They have the highest payroll in basketball. Cleveland's winning the division, so go ahead and set that aside.
Sure, but I guess, like, we need to be competitive, and last night, we just did not show up for three quarters of that game. And we looked, and, you know, then I've watched some other games, and, you know, the Rockets started four guys who were over 6'10 the other day.
The Rockets and, have some of this.
And I'm looking at us and I'm thinking, you know, our backup center, Isaiah Stewart, although he had a fantastic game, our backup center is 6'8.
Yeah.
And we do not have much size. That being said, our point guard is 6'6, but he did not have a very good game at all. He was missing everything. Then final stat line is like 23-10-7 or whatever.
So we can look forward to seeing Detroit at Chicago for the play-in.
Yeah,
okay. All right. Well, you know, I think we can go from there. I think we can win something from there.
But to close off number two, as I said earlier, I'm going to Houston tomorrow from San Antonio to go see the Pistons, and the Pistons better bring their game.
Yeah.
Because the Pistons Rockets just lost to OKC, and they took OKC to two overtimes.
Mm-hmm.
And the Rockets are looking pretty damn good. And Kevin Durant fits pretty well, and Alperen Şengün is a monster.
Yes, yes.
And the Pistons got their work cut out for them tomorrow, so I just pray to the Wilt Chamberlains on high that they bring their A game tomorrow, or else it could be a bloodbath at the Toyota Center. Number one, Victor Wembanyama is a god mm-hmm. on the court.
Yeah, he's an extraterrestrial. He's in a league of his own.
Look, I've watched every single one of his games ever since last year.
All the way back to the France days. He was
and I will say, he has gotten significantly better. He's gotten significantly taller. He's gotten significantly bigger.
1 inch.
2 inches. He went from 7'3 to 7'5.
2 inches.
Some say he's 7'7. Okay. He went 66% from three. He got 40 points, 15 rebounds, 3 blocks, 6 assists. I mean, this dude, yeah, and probably a couple steals. Like, this dude was just unreal. He's just making these fadeaway shots against anyone he wanted, Anthony Davis included.
He's
falling down
a cheat
every
code.
Time. Yeah. And you're just like, there's no way he's making this. He makes it. There's no way he makes it. And I don't know how many times yesterday I'm watching that game and I'm just like, oh my God, Wimby, you are insane. And my wife was watching and she was like, what is going on? And, man, Wimby, 21 years old, you can tell all that host work he did with Hakeem Olajuwon and Kevin Garnett. It shows off immensely. And he and Steph Castle have been working together for months and months and months. It just so happens that the Spurs also have the last year's Rookie of the Year on their team. And man, he can feed Victor like nobody's business.
And that's what they need. That's the 1-2 punch.
So, Western Conference, watch out, because here's my question. Who can guard him?
You don't need to guard him, you just need to outscore the team.
If he's fading like that,
you just need to outscore the team. We'll get to that in my top three.
If he's fading like that,
mm-hmm.
who can stop him?
Mm-hmm.
So, an absolute thrilling performance for Victor Wembanyama. That's my number one. I'm going to see them next Thursday against the Heat. Heat culture's dead. Let's go Spurs.
Yeah, stat night is what you would call that, or what I would call that. So number three for me, Magic, good. I know I've talked about it before. They added to their roster knowing that this is a down year for the East outside of Cleveland, and the Orlando Magic are going for it. And Banchero and Wagner have combined to be a 1-2 wrecking crew, and they just ran it across Miami. I'm going to talk about Miami in a second, but I really think people should be paying closer attention to the Orlando Magic. This is as good as they've been since they've had Shaq. Like, there's a real team here that has the ability to compete up and down the court. And I'm not glomming on Wagner just because I'm a Michigan guy and like I love that whole storyline. No, he's really showing his worth in the NBA, and he really, really showed it the other night. So I'm excited about that. My number two, on the converse of that, the Heat did lose to Orlando, but the Heat might not be as bad as I thought. They're playing a tempo style of basketball that I don't know if can go all four quarters, but in the first three quarters, at least, is something that caused serious problems for Orlando, because that's a team that likes to have a slower tempo, a little bit of a different attack rate. And Miami forced them to play up to their level, and they were running the ball up and down the court over and over again. Now, if you come to the end of the game in Miami's situation and you have Powell as your person who's going to score the goals, like, it's not going to work. Like, it's going to end up being a problem. But if you end up adding Hero at some point and he's the one taking the shots, then we've got a story to tell. So whenever Hero gets to this team, I think it really turns around. Maybe they're the other play-in against the Hawks while the Pistons play the Bulls, and then we'll figure out where we go from there. And I have two teams play each other, but I think the Heat are better than whatever. And then going back to your West conversation, my first note, OKC is really, really good. Like, they're all around impeccably built. They went two overtimes in their first game. They went two overtimes tonight. Alexander scoring in the 50s, which is insane. And 35 the night previous, Chet found his rhythm in the first game, scoring 28 points, which is awesome. They're obviously the defending champions, but they are a force to be reckoned with. They're playing these games close, but they have so much firepower. It's going to be, they're going to be really, really hard to beat. And as much as stacked as the West is, I think that they're just a plus one class above the rest of the West. So that's the easiest take of all time, but they're really stacked.
Yeah. Like I predicted, I think OKC is on a one-way street to back to the NBA championship. Yeah,
it's a dynastic situation. There's no doubt about it. I mean, the you got Alex Caruso putting up double-digit points from like deep in the bench. Like it's a really, really strong mix of talent, a lot of complementary pieces, and a team that's going to be an absolute force to deal with. So I'm really excited about this season. I know we're only a game or two games for some people. Denver's still playing their first game. There's a lot of really fun things to come, but I'm excited to be able to not just talk about 2K on this channel, but also be able to talk about what we're excited about from the association. So it's exciting times. And will you recap again where you're going and what jerseys you're wearing if you've picked them over the next few days?
Yes. Yeah, so we will be taking a straight shot east on I-10. We will be leaving here in about, let's say, 15 hours.
Sure.
Our friend lives by Minute Maid Park, or as they call now, Daiken Park, yep, or whatever they call it.
And Roundfield.
Yes. And he doesn't have a car, so we're getting his free parking spot. So there that's you just, you know, things are going to be good with that sort of stuff. And it's a 14-minute walk. We'll get some dinner. And I'll be wearing my Dennis Rodman Pistons jersey, of okay. course. Yeah. My wife is going to be wearing her Tayshaun Prince Pistons jersey, both courtesy of Shoddy's jerseys.
Shoddy's.
In Del Rio, Texas. Just going to give another shout out there.
Best in the business.
And while I'm very excited to watch the Pistons,
yes,
I also realized that this is the Rockets' home opener,
mm-hmm,
on a Friday night, and it's going to be Kevin Durant's first game at home,
yep,
as a Houston Rocket.
Yep.
And, I don't know if anyone watched that last game, and he probably said he needed to do better, but he looks pretty good in that jersey. So that being said, as far as tomorrow goes, the Rockets suck and Pistons are going to be great. And I'm just going to stick with that until something changes. So,
yep. Yeah. And it's going to be really exciting for anyone who's a fan of, Rise Above 2K and the Unicorn Big, and you're going to be at the Toyota Center, for this game, 10 minutes before the start, before the tip off. Behind Section 107, it'll be a fan club meetup with the Unicorn Big. So be ready for that big line back there behind 107, right by the hot dog vendor. If you've made it this far into the podcast or the video, we so appreciate your time. Please like, subscribe, comment, let us know what you want to hear in future episodes. We're dedicated to producing content for you every week on all of our social media platforms and long form here on the main channel. Smoke 'em if you got 'em. Thank you for tuning in. The last word, the last puff, Unicorn Big, what do you got?
All I'll say is this: 500 feels really good. It looks like we've gained about 15 subscribers just in this time that we have been recording this episode. 600 will probably come before we go to bed. I think 1,000's on its way very soon. I can't express how much I appreciate everyone being part of this. This is awesome, and
it worked well.
Rise above.
Rise above, and follow Shoddy's on Instagram. Thanks, everyone. Cheers.